Hey guys, do me a favor, subscribe to this podcast. I know you're listening, but hit subscribe. That way when a new episode comes out, it'll be there waiting for you. All right? And if you want to give us a little donation, DarrenCarter.com, hit that PayPal button. Or if you're into Venmo, it's at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also on the Cash App, $ Darren Carter Comic. But the best thing you can do is subscribe. That way the new episode will be waiting for you. And thanks again for checking us out and starting that party. So let's do it right now. Let's start that party in your ear holes.
Bucket party. Yeah.
When I'm down and feeling low with so much negativity, I listen to Darren Carter's Pocket Party. He got his friends as guests and they be really funny.
It ain't over till he say, boy,
don't hurt nobody.
Yeah.
They run.
And we're back. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Pocket Party podcast. If it's your first time, welcome aboard. And if you've listened before, thanks for coming back. On the line, we got my good buddy here, Mr. Mike Black.
Hello.
Hello, comedian extraordinaire. We both headline the Comedy Store quite frequently. And Mike also, by the way, used to open for a lot of big comedians. Well, he still does. But I remember you used to open for Andrew Dice Clay. And I recently listened to Andrew Dice Clay on the Joe Rogan Experience, man. What a career that guy's had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. An incredible career. He started really young and just kind of kept entertaining in some form or another until he got into stand-up comedy. And then, you know, Mitzi discovered him. Rodney discovered him. It really didn't take long before he just took off, you know.
You know, it sounded like it moved pretty quick, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure in the moment you're like, it's month after month after month, but not really. When you look back at your life, you're like, that was pretty, because he was talking about, yeah, it was like October of whatever, like 78, and then by, you know, February of whatever, like 79, he was at the Comedy Store, and I mean, it, you know, Mitzi loved him right away.
Yeah, and people kind of forget or don't realize that even when he got his big break, which was the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian special, he was already in talks, I think, with, if I remember correctly, with Jerry Lewis's people, because he did such an amazing Jerry Lewis impression that they wanted him to do a Nutty Professor movie back then, mm-hmm. with Jerry Lewis as his dad. But then when the Rodney special came out, it's this whole completely other character that's very not family friendly at all.
Yeah.
That they were like, yeah, maybe that's not the best idea. But I would have been interested in seeing that movie, how that would have turned out.
Oh, yeah. That would have been, because I guess what he did is he, you know, just like when, you know, when you start out, you're very influenced by what you see and what you can imitate around your house. And so then he was doing like the John Travolta impressions, and part of his thing was starting out a show with, I'm such a nerd until I drink this potion, and then when I drink the potion, then the lights would go out, and he'd come up, how you doing? I'm the Dice Man. Oh!
Yeah, which was, that's basically the Nutty Professor, you know, only he turned it. Dice brand, you know.
Yeah, so now he's like 99% Dice, and then occasionally when he imitates people, he'll be like, what do you mean, Dice? Or whatever.
Yeah.
He talked about like some of those big like venues they would play, and the opening acts would, you know, the crowd would be like doing the wave and be like yelling out like, you know, a-hole, a. Did you ever have to deal with that where the crowd was
No, I was very lucky that I missed that kind of crowd. That, like, I would get crowds that were definitely like, get off stage, we want to see Dice and stuff like that. And it was very easy to calm them down because I'm pretty dirty myself. And so I would just start doing dirty jokes and they would be okay. But occasionally someone would get real aggressive and I'd be like, do you think he doesn't know I'm up here?
Right.
Yeah. He'll come on when he's ready. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, they look at it like, you're the one that's keeping us from seeing Dice, you comedy bully.
Yeah, and you just kind of have to explain to them that that's not what's happening. Like, if he didn't want me on the stage, I wouldn't be on the stage, I promise, but, you know.
Right.
And but, like, with Eleanor, it got pretty bad because, you know, his audience is very male-centric, I'll put it that way. And so they didn't really want to give her a chance, and she would just destroy them. She's just too tough. She had 9 brothers, I think, something like that. So she was used to dealing with angry, rowdy guys before she even got into comedy, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so, yeah, they would be... once you showed them the goods, basically, they would calm down. But a lot of guys got eaten up by that because they weren't particularly dirty or... not to mention anyone by name, but not everyone's funny enough
to handle that kind of
a crowd like that down.
Yeah.
And so they would just kind of have to eat it for,
Remember if he did any particular like pre-show music, like for the audience, or was it just random, or do you?
He liked to use classic rock a lot, you know, stuff that would just get him kind of pumped.
Yeah.
And get him like mood. You know, he toured with, I think he toured with Guns N' Roses for a while.
Yeah, and he's good friends with them, and, you know.
Yeah, so he would use a lot of their kind of music, you know, like heavy metal, that sort of stuff. And I think it's really a smart thing to do to get music that kind of fits your act or the crowd that you're attracting.
Right. And that was definitely, yeah. Yeah, I'm laughing because and in my life I've changed. You know what I mean? Sure. I was really, you know, people might see my comedy and hear the beatboxing. They're like, oh, this guy loves hip hop. Well, I think I loved hip hop from like you know, ages 13 to about 23. You know, and then I kind of,
that was the hip hop you grew up on, and now it's like, ah, it's changed and I've gone
and I you know like if a song comes on and I'm somewhere, like, you know, I'm at the gym or whatever, and I'm like, it's, you know, whatever, it's kind of cool, I guess, but I don't seek it out. In fact, I like to go back and listen to stuff that I missed during that time. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, what's this group all about? Oh, Weezer, let me check out all their albums. Or Metallica, oh, these guys are great. Or now lately I've been into Frank Sinatra and, like, you know, yeah, like there's all these great bands and music that I just, you know, kind of wasn't into back then. And I mean, I went through a whole like Willie Nelson country music phase, and, you know, outlaw country music and stuff like that. But I was aware of some of the songs, but not into it. But I'm
waiting for you to get into all the Lilith Fair stuff. You
know? Exactly.
Why didn't anyone tell me about Tori Amos?
I only knew about Sinead O'Connor's big hit. No,
Darren's act changed since he started wearing that Tracy Chapman shirt everywhere.
You've got a fast car. But, so I'm making my audience listen
to it. That sounds great.
But I'm laughing because I remember I did a gig in Bakersfield, and on the way to the gig, I had the AC blowing. I felt really like classy, and I had, you know, I'm in the car and I got the AC's blowing. I just had my cup of espresso, and I'm listening to some Frank Sinatra tunes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in show business, baby. You know, the best is yet to come. Da, 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 da. And then I realize I'm living in a delusional fantasy world because I pull up to the parking lot and there's like a vape store next to the club and a tattoo parlor. Right. And
they are definitely not treating you like Sinatra when you
I walk in and it's like the DJ was playing some really loud music. There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the world I'm in.
It's got steak and lobster and martinis. They're in the back. One of the Teamsters brought some chili, and there's a little bit left over. It's hungry.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, we don't have bottled water, but you want some out of this tap? You're just like, oh, gosh. You like nachos with cheese? Like, oh, God. Velveeta? Oh, boy.
Where are all the ladies? What ladies?
There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes. Yeah. I was like, oh, boy. Am I going to...
But this is Las Vegas. The hoes cost more than you do. Most of these hoes are executives here. They own the building.
Exactly. Did, Did you ever do any of the, I know he does like club dice where he plays it like clubs and, you know, comedy clubs. And then he also does like the arenas or the, did you get to do some of both or when you opened for him?
Cause he was very smart about the way he would book the road where he would do like a big venue and then a little one, you know, I was able to do both there. One of my favorite smaller clubs, I guess, and it was a, for a comedy club, it was pretty big. The Laugh Stop in Houston we played. And then like that same year we went to Canada and played like a stadium, not a stadium, but like a big, big theater that held something like 12,000 people or something like
that. Oh my gosh.
So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, just getting that experience and getting like that varied sort of experience was just a real blast. And he, you know, I've heard stories about him being like a nightmare to people or whatever. I never personally saw that. The only time I saw him get confrontational was like when his family was on the road with us and someone would kind of encroach on that. And he did, he was just protective like any dad would be, you know?
Yeah, he talked about, you know, there's like daytime dice and nighttime dice. And when he's daytime, he dresses a certain way. And then, you know, and he also talked about gambling. Like, I guess he's quit smoking. He quit it for like 10 years. Then he started again. Then he quit again when he, after the heart attack at 60. But then he talked about how he stopped. I guess he was a big, like a blackjack player, and he would gamble like thousands of dollars. And he told a story about, about that. Like, he was in Vegas and they were at the pool, him and Wheels, you know, Wheels. And he's like, "Hey, Wheels, how much money you got on you?" And he's like, "I got 20. And he goes, "Okay, that's enough." And then they took a cab down to some place and he had a $75,000 credit at this place. And he wanted to cut the cards a certain way and the pit boss was cool with it. And then when the pit boss left, it was replaced by a woman, a female pit boss who was buying into the hype of anti-dice. And she she's like, wasn't going to treat him any, you know, he's like, "I'd like to cut the cards a certain way." And she's like, "Well, I'm not going to let you do that. That's not going to happen under my watch." And he's like, "Well, the last pit boss." And she's like, "Well, I'm," and he goes, "and that's when," he tells Joe Rogan, he goes, "and that's when I became Mad Dice." Whatever. I'm like, "Okay, honey." And then he like did his thing. And did you guys ever gamble, or were you ever around him when he gambled?
No, I wasn't around him when he gambled. So I, you know, I heard stories about it like that one, but I was never around during that period.
One of the stories was you're almost answering it like we're in court or something. "And were you around him when he was gambling?"
It's just not something that I was part of.
Here's the reason I mentioned the gambling thing, because he says when he was with Wheels, he I think they made like, he made some, if you guys ever listen to that episode, it's a great episode with Joe Rogan. I don't know why I'm promoting other people's podcasts, but he doesn't need the promo, but I'm just telling you it was a great episode.
while you're reenacting the podcast.
Maybe I can get some downloads. People will listen to this thinking this is the...
they'll think they're listening to Rogan's podcast.
Well, here's what happened. He won like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and they put all the money in manila envelopes, and they took him and Wheels took the cab back to the casino that they were at. And he goes, "Hey, Wheels, before we go, stick your hand in the envelope and grab out as, you know, much money as you can." And he said Wheels pulled out like probably like 10 grand. So I was wondering if you ever got the pleasure of that.
No, I never.
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of money out of an envelope.
All right.
What is the point of that story?
How cool that would be.
To hold a bunch of money? I've held money.
No, he got to keep it. He got to keep the money. He didn't just get to...
Oh, okay. I thought he was having him hold it, and I was like, okay.
Hey, stick your hand in there. See what that feels like rolling around. Now put it back. Oh!
I could see him doing that to someone, but like, no, he never did that to me.
Oh, well, if we're ever on, I don't ever gamble, but if I ever did and I won a bunch of money and you were with me, and you loan me the $20 to win all that money, I would do. I'll just go here on the record. I'll let you do that.
Great.
You're welcome. And, if I ever went, $500,000.
Yeah, now I have it recorded.
Recorded. It's proof, buddy. Go back to episode 182. No,
but when was the last time you won gambling in Vegas?
Oh gosh, 20 years ago, maybe 25.
And I think your thousands of dollars are safe.
Yeah, I usually would put 20 on a roulette wheel on red, spin the thing, and then it would, you know, I'd lose, and then I'd walk away, or I'd win. And when I win, I'd be like, oh wow, I won $20. And I'd be like, this ain't that big of a deal. That's why I'm like, I would not really get into gambling. I was like, it's not, to me, it's not fun. When I lose, I hate the way it feels, and when I win, it's not that exciting.
If you're betting $20, you're not gonna win a whole lot. That's gonna be very exciting.
Yeah.
You have to bet high to win big.
We're gonna do we're gonna do a quick game of imaginary roulette. Okay, I'm spinning that. You're gonna pick red or black. Here we go. And I'm not gonna cheat. I'm gonna seriously pick. Think of a color. Boom! It stops. What color are you thinking?
Black.
Dude, you just won. You literally just won.
I won even money, which is nothing. It's
so
not bad.
You put down 20 and you just won 20.
Right. And on the next hand, I'll lose.
We don't know. Here, I'm going to spin it again. What color?
Red.
You won again. I'm not even kidding.
Okay, so now I've, tripled my money?
No, now you're up to $40. Do you walk away or do one more time?
So wait, just now I've doubled my money.
Yeah, you had 20, but you put down 20, you won 20, and then you won another 20. So you're up $40. Do you walk away or do you spin?
Oh, I would be up 60, Darren.
No, because you put your original $20 down, so that's, you had that money.
Right, and then I won.
Yeah.
And how much did I win that first time?
$20. Okay. Oh, well, I mean, you got your own $20 back, and then you won $20, so that's technically it's 40, right. But it's...
Then I repeated the bet and won again, so that's another $20.
See, this is why I don't gamble. I'm not even good at math.
Right. So, yeah, this whole casino would be shut down.
So you,
because yeah. I would immediately call the Nevada Gaming Commission after you got that I won, that I'd only had $40 now.
Do you walk away or do you keep that $40?
I walk away because you're an insane dealer. I'm not going to explain math to the dealer every hand.
Exactly. And I didn't even try to trick you because, there's always that green double zero.
Trick me. You have to know how to count. To
exactly. Darren, do you count cards? No, because I can't even count. No. Even if I'm looking at them, I can't even count them.
Because some old road dog had a joke that I thought was really funny. Where, you know how, like, you don't think someone's funny, but they have that one joke that you like?
Yeah.
I was at some place in Vegas and I caught this guy's act, and he goes, I'm not saying the casino here cheats, but the dealer did get the 17 of clubs.
That's funny, man. I remember the first time I ever gambled, I was 21, obviously, and I was on a family vacation to Colorado, and then we drove through Reno on the way home. And my grandparents were wandering around the casino, and I'm like, I'm gonna go play blackjack. And I remember I lost hand after hand after hand, but I was only betting like $1. So I lost $12, which to me at the time was a lot. And then next night I went over and I was just watching, and this one guy sitting there goes, "You want to play? You want to sit down?" I go, "No, I lost a lot of money last night." And he goes, "How much?" I go, $12. And he laughed because, the innocent of babes. 12. But to me, $12 is a lot back then.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah, it can be. Some would think if you only had $12 to begin with, maybe you shouldn't be in a casino.
Yeah. I remember I had like a big Ziploc bag full of quarters so I could call people from the road. So I took all those quarters and gambled them all because we were almost home anyways.
You gambled all your calling money.
Yeah, I was like, well, we're almost home. They can go without hearing me for a day. Yeah. That's pretty pathetic.
Now I'm picturing us on the road somewhere, and you go, Mike, open that Ziploc bag. Put your hand in there. As many quarters as you can holding your hand, take out. I wasn't expecting you to take all the quarters out of my bag.
No, I'm not going to, my family's not going to hear from me, Mike.
Right, yeah.
Mike.
Put $3.75 worth of quarters back in the bag.
Yeah, remember that? You'd make a call, please deposit 50 cents. It's
like, yeah.
Gosh. The good old days. All right, I want to move on to this other topic. I did one of my, as you like to call it, bumpkin activities.
Yay.
We went to the LA County Fair, and it was the second time we've gone this year. We went a few weeks ago, and we went again. And you've never gone to it. Yeah, and you've never even gone to the LA County Fair, and I've gone twice this month.
Yeah, it's a real crime.
Yeah. I got to be, maybe familiarity breeds contempt, but I got to be honest, I'm getting less impressed with the LA County Fair.
I can relate.
There's one exhibit hall that was always open. It's been closed both times. There's certain things I'm used to seeing that are gone. I mean, it's still really cool, and I definitely will go again. But I'm like, there's something missing this time. I don't know. It's just not as,
You're the only person who's ever said the LA County Fair is really cool.
It's really cool. It's... So last time we saw John Fogerty and at the fair, you know, he's great. All those hits,
hanging out.
No, he was hanging out. Yeah, he's just hanging. Yeah. I see a bad moon on the horizon. Yeah, he was good, man. That guy was really good. I was only able to watch about 5 or 6 songs. Then I had to like leave early and go do a spot at the Comedy Store. So I was, even though I was enjoying the concert, I had in the back of my mind, like, okay, yeah, maybe 2 more songs and I got to go. Okay, maybe you know, that kind of thing. Well, this time, I was in for the long ride. I didn't, your phone's getting some feedback. Can you take it off? I think are you on speaker? If you can take it off, that would help.
Is that better?
Yes, better. So this time we saw a 90s concert.
Ooh.
90s concert. And I'll tell you the order of acts, then we'll go each act by act. Are you familiar with Young MC?
Yes.
Color Me Bad.
Yep.
Tone Loc.
Yes.
All for One.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, the boy band.
And the headliner was Vanilla Ice.
Yep.
So here's what happens.
I'm familiar with all of these people you named.
Yeah. Would you be excited to see them at the LA County Fair?
I would not be excited to see them on a train or in a plane. I would not see them here or there. I would not see them anywhere. I certainly wouldn't see them at the LA County Fair.
Well, would you like to see them at Comic-Con?
No.
No, it wouldn't be like an extra bonus. Like, hey, and if you pay a little extra, you get to see this 90s concert at Comic-Con.
I would not, could not in San Diego. I would not, could not eating Eggos. I do not like these 90 bands. I do not like them, Sam I Am.
So the first guy comes out, right? My wife's favorite rapper, Young MC. No backup dancers, no band, just a straight up dude from the 90s. Girl in yellow, she says hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow, you want it, it's that song, just bust a move. And then at the end of his set, he does like he raps real fast, cause I'm whatever he does, you know, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, and if you can, please stand up, cause nobody was standing up early. And then he kicked ass. He was really good.
I like that he's aware that his audience is much older than us.
Stand up. Oh yeah, because he was considerate. He's like, if you can, please stand up. You know, that was pretty cool that he said it like that. The next group comes out, Color Me Bad. They had that big hit, I Wanna Sex You Up.
Oh yeah, well, I was thinking of Naughty by Nature, but yeah, Color Me Bad.
I Wanna Sex You Up.
They were the ones that wanted to sex you up.
Yeah, there was 4 of them, and I remember distinctly that 4 of them, they each had a look. One guy kind of looked like Milli Vanilli. One guy looked like George Michael. One kind of looked like Kenny G. One guy kind of looked like Vanilla Ice. So here's what's funny.
Do you think they all hang out looking like that? Like, go out to bars and stuff?
Well, back then, that was
in full costume.
Yeah, see, that they all had that look, and that was like 90. We gotta remember that was like they came out in like 90, 91.
Yeah.
So they were all thin. They all looked like those people. So now Color Me Bad is there's only one original member left.
Oh.
And there's not even four of them anymore. There's like three of them. And the one guy, he's huge, and he looks like he wears a nice shiny jacket, and he has really black eyebrows. I told my wife, he looks like your rich Armenian uncle up there. Like he's like some Persian jacket up there, and he's like, I want to sex you up. and he's got these two dudes that don't even look like the other guys. Like they're these like two black dudes that are like singing with him, and it's not even four of them. And then I went online, and people were like, Color Me Sad, you know, instead of Color Me Bad. Yeah. And apparently, and you guys can look this up on YouTube, just type in Color Me Bad fight on stage. That lead singer.
Oh, they got.
Yes.
They broke up on stage?
Well, they continued to perform with each other after that. And the main singer got, you know, listen, I hopefully he's sober now, but I guess he had a drinking problem. He's the one that's still in the band. His name is, by the way, remember I said they all look like each other? Like look like other celebrities? His name is Brian Adams, which there's already a Brian Adams.
Right.
So this lead singer guy, this George Michael Armenian uncle looking guy, apparently he had a drinking problem. And so if you go on stage, if you go on YouTube and look it up, there was a concert where they were like, we're Color Me Bad, we'll see. And then this guy comes out like a boss, like a mafia boss, just like slowly coming out from behind on the stage and just shoves him like blindsidedly. Like shoves the other Color Me Bad member, and that guy ended up going to the hospital that night and then getting released. But then they continued to do shows together.
Oh well, that's nice.
Because I saw footage where the guy that shoved him had a black T-shirt, and on the back of the shirt it said "I'm sorry," and then he would grab the mic and be like, "I'm trying to apologize him, but he ain't having it," and he kept pointing his back to the singer like, "I'm sorry." It's like. But so I guess eventually they just all broke up and whatever. So anyway, so it was Young MC, Color Me Bad, no incidents, just they did their thing. They were good. They were really good, though, I will say that. Next was Tone Loc, you know, that guy. Working all week. We have to do the wild thing. Funky Cold Medina. Yeah. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
So he was in and out with that voice. So sometimes he'd be like, how y'all doing? Working. And then he would just do his regular voice because I think that voice must hurt his throat. So he'd be like, have to do the wild thing. Come on, y'all, make some noise. Come on, we got this. Have to do the wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now it's we have to do the wild thing.
Yeah. He'd like, sing it. And he put the mic out to the crowd because he's probably thinking, you know, just like a voiceover actor, like it was a voice he did in a recording studio when he was 19, working all week. But he's like, oh, damn, my throat hurts, you know, so.
Yeah, having the audience sing it as a very old person move.
Yeah, and then next was All for One, and this is almost like a dig, I felt. Like, they were like, the announcer, before they came out, they were like, and now, please welcome two-time American Music Award nominees and all four original members, All for One. So they really wanted to drive home that they're all four original members.
Yeah.
And then they come out, and they were good. They were like, I swear. And then they sang that, and they also sang, I can love you like that. I don't know if that's the same song or not, but they were doing that. They were doing their thing. I couldn't tell you. And then they also kind of cheated. You know how comedians, we have to do our own shit, which we like to do. These guys were doing, y'all remember the 90s? Remember the 90s? and then they would like... They would sing other 90s songs like, y'all remember R. Kelly? Then they would do like a little bit of snippet of R. Kelly. Y'all remember Boys to Men, East Coast Swing. I can't really sing, but they would do 90s hits. And then the headliner was the one and only Vanilla Ice. Let me ask you a question. How many Vanilla Ice songs can you name?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
Maybe two. See, Ice Baby and Ninja Rap.
Oh, dude, that's cool. See, I know two different songs, but I know Ice Ice Baby. Doom, 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 doo, doo, doom, 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 doom. I know that one, and I know the play that funky music, white boy. And then they're like, play that funky music, ice. And then the third one is the ninja.
Oh, is that a thing he rips off Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Yeah.
I knew he ripped off Queen and David Bowie, but I didn't know he also
ripped off,
dabbled into Casey and the
Sunshine. Or Black Cherry or whatever they're called. I think it's Black Cherry or something like that, Cherry. But they, yeah, and I didn't really know about this ninja rap thing. So that was, but
yeah, that's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which we find out.
Secret of the U's.
So you
mean where?
Yeah.
They a fight between the turtles and some bad guys breaks into a Vanilla Ice concert. He sees the fracas from the stage. He sees four human-sized turtles fighting using martial arts against like a giant wolf and a giant rhino, I think. And he immediately is inspired and comes up with the song Ninja Rap while he's watching the fight and sings it while they're fighting. It's garbage. It's complete garbage.
It's like, by the way, your voice is going in and out. If you want to just hold that mic to you a little bit, buddy.
Okay. And he also comes up with like the ninja rap dance that goes with it.
Oh, wow.
It's complete crap.
So here's what's a trip. And I agree with you on that. So out of all those bands, Vanilla Ice is the headliner. And I've seen the posters before in previous years, like, cause they would do like 90s concert and they'd swap out different members, but it was Vanilla Ice is the headliner because he's the most famous one. But I'm thinking, how's this guy going to headline with one song, or maybe two, even three? But it's like, so
yeah.
I'll tell you how he did it. He comes out, he sings a song that I didn't know. I don't think the audience knows, but he's like, but they're excited. So you get away with one song right off the bat. But oh my gosh, there he is. You know, he's got the red, white, and blue cap. And it's like, what's up, y'all? Vanilla Ice. Boom, boom, boom. We gonna party. Whatever the hell the song was, you know? So you can get away with one song. But he's done this for, dude, 30 years. So he's got it down. And then he might have done like another song. And then at one point, he does the play that funky music, white boy. And they're like, yeah. But then here's what he does. He's smart. He gets the audience to come up on stage with him. Like he's like, we need some, if you got neon colors, we're going to take you back to the 90s. He keeps pushing the 90s. We're going to the 90s. So there must've been about 65 people on stage with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my wife, I go, was it kind of like when you saw MC Hammer? And she's like, not at all. Cause MC Hammer, they were all choreographed. They were dancing. It was like a movement up there. Like, here goes the hammer, you know, can't touch this, doom, and you're seeing like 100 people. Like, this is just randos, man, just random people. At one point, there was the previous singers, like kids up there with them, and at one point, dude, I'm not even kidding, I couldn't find him up there. Like, I'm looking at the jumbotron, I don't even know where he was at. There were so many people up there. I'm like, where the hell's Vanilla Ice? He had a drummer up there, and he had a DJ Chopsticks. Of course, he was an Asian guy. DJ Chopsticks.
You know, that seems wrong, but okay.
I
mean,
that's the guy's name, I guess. So then, what if it wasn't his name, and Vanilla Ice was just, he was drunk. No, but then Vanilla Ice was good, though. Like, almost like how a comic would, like, y'all remember the 90s? Who here had a flip phone? You know, all that kind of stuff. Like, he was kind of like a throwback comic, like, y'all remember the 90s? I still love my Mustang 5.0. And the crowd's like, yeah. How many ladies here have become mothers since, you know, got pregnant since my hits came out? Yeah. That's right. Word to your mother. And now you a mother. Yeah. Remember when remember when kids used to play outside? We didn't have no Instagram, no TikTok. Remember that? We used to play outside. So tonight, we're going back to the 90s. We're all teenagers. He says, we're all teenagers. And then that'd be hilarious if he's like, so y'all, we got these buses. They're going to take us to the airport and take us to Epstein Island. No, he didn't say that. But He's like, we're all going to go back.
Oh, I know.
You know. Yeah. We're all going to go back to the 90s. And so he took us to the 90s. And then probably about 50%, probably about 30, 40 minutes in there somewhere, he does the doom, 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 doom. Stop, collaborate, and but guess what? That's the show's not even over. You would think he would end on that. He kept
what?
So now there's all these people on stage with him. He brings out four like Ninja Turtles. They're on stage dancing. There's a guy dressed up like a huge like tower of ice. He's dancing around. There's the girls. There's the people from the show, and he's just up there. It's a party, y'all. It's a 90s party. And then he's doing ninja stuff, that ninja rap. Then he goes on DJ Chopstick's turntables and he starts playing like other people's music from the 90s and kind of rapping like, yeah, yeah. And then like there'd be like these songs, yeah, Naughty by Nature. OPP, you down with me? Yeah. And then
no way.
Yeah, then he's like, he starts getting the crowd to chant, USA, USA. And then he's like, I want to give a shout out to all the Air Force, Navy, Marines, Space Force. He even put Space Force in
there. What?
I know. I know. I was kind of wondering, is he just looking at some clock that we don't see where he's like, damn, I got 9 more minutes to kill. How am I going to do it? Because then he starts giving a shout out to all the contractors, electricians, plumbers, roofers. I'm not even kidding. He starts, but the crowd goes nuts, you know? The ones that stayed, because a lot of people did. I wouldn't say a lot, but
people didn't stay for this?
There was about, I would say, a lot of people left after the big hit, you know, like 20% left, but the stands were still filled because it was kind of a spectacle, like what's going to happen, you know. And then he just kept, you know, giving shout outs, and I was waiting for us to get, you know, podcasters, comedians. I want to give a shout out to all the bloggers and vloggers. Damn, I got 6 more minutes. I want to keep giving shout outs. All the farmers. Okay, so then he his last song was it was kind of a unity type of thing, like let's all, we could laugh together, we could smile together. And then he ended on a Bob Marley, no woman don't cry, no woman no cry.
It's an odd choice.
Yeah, but it was a feel-good kind of like kumbaya moment. And then we're all, get your lighters out, your cell phone, your flashlights, the whole thing. And so we're all doing that, I forgot, my bad. So God rest his soul, Coolio passed away, and Coolio was on.
Yes.
Yes, and I remember I saw Coolio there before, and also Biz Markie. And so he had Coolio come, not Coolio, but like he had his family and the original band members that would tour with Coolio. And so there was like another drummer that drummed and a saxophone player, and then I think LV was there, you know, the guy that sang, been living all my, you know, that Stevie Wonder hit, living in a gangster's paradise. Like that was really good.
Oh yeah.
That was really good. They did the gangster's paradise and that helped kill some time, but it was really good. I actually got a tear in my eye.
And that helped kill some time.
But it was good, dude. So that was,
I'm really glad you don't write music reviews.
That helped kill. But I got a tear in my eye, man. That was, I felt something on that, you know,
it was good. Well, that, I really wish I could have been there.
Yeah. You're probably, isn't it better? I just told you about it, so you didn't have to go. So that was good.
Yeah. That's,
all right. Next,
I wish you could have told me about it in half as much time. That would have made it even better.
I know, because then my friend went to another concert, and I'm like, his was way better. And he went to like see Ringo, and I'm like, well, that's cool. First of all, getting to see one of the original Beatles, and then some of the guest sets were like Colin Hay from Men Without Work. Like they did 2 songs, you know, like Come from the Land Down.
I don't think the band is Men Without Work.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Men Without Work.
What is it called? Men at Work. Men at,
yeah,
work.
There are 2 different bands. There's Men with Hats.
Yeah, Men Without Hats and Men at Work.
Yeah, Men Without Hats and Men at Work are the 2 bands.
Oh my god. Men Without Work. Dude, that'd be a major faux pas if I was the MC at their show and again and the pit boss. I don't know gambling, and I introduced them wrong. Keep it going for Men Without Work. Here they are glomming onto Ringo.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to get to some shout-outs.
Real losers, men without work.
We're going to get to some shout-outs and some concert, I'm sorry, questions from the audience. I put it up on my Instagram. I said we're going to read your questions on the podcast, so we will be getting to that. But first, I got to ask you, on the topic of losing things and finding them, because I've had that happen recently, there's things that you lose and you just never see it again, and there's things you lose and then you find again. You go first. What's something you've lost?
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about this now, because I'm going through a complete overhaul of my apartment because I got a storage unit. So I'm trying to reclaim some space after the pandemic, because, you know, you'd buy a pen online and they'd send it to you in a 12 by 12 cardboard box, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just had a small place and boxes filling it up. And so for the last year or so, I've been playing life-size Tetris every day, all day, you know, just trying to get through all these boxes. And so I've been finding stuff that I'd lost years ago. It looked like you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The very, very end of the movie, when the Ark is in that big shipping warehouse and there's just all those boxes around. That's how my place was starting to look. And the funny part is, I collect Indiana Jones action figures, and I realized one day, I was like, oh, crap, the Ark of the Covenant actually is in one of these boxes somewhere. I don't know which one, but it's in here somewhere, you know. And I've had things like...
So what would happen with that?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, how would that happen? You would... I figure I would get the package and then open it up right away, but things would get in the way where you'd I'll open that when I come back, and then you'd go out somewhere.
Right, it'd be on the door when I was leaving or something like that, and I would just bring it in. And it's for the most part, if you live in a small apartment, most people get it. You don't really do a whole lot of entertaining. It's just kind of a place to sleep between gigs and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I had space to move around and have breakfast and stuff like that, but for the most part, I wasn't there very often. So I would do all the stuff before I was going to leave to go do shows, and then I would open the door and there'd be packages of things that I'd ordered or whatever, just that kind of thing.
Because I was going to say that's a lot of discipline to not, and in one way, to not open up all the boxes, you know, just be like. But I guess it would eventually pile up where you're I got 15 boxes.
Yeah, but a lot of times even if you open it, then you got to break down the cardboard and everything like that. And it's I didn't waste a lot of time doing that, you know.
Mm.
I was if I had to get out to a show or something like that, for the most part, it's I came here to do shows, not to break down cardboard.
Yeah. So what was something you lost and then you found?
I found some pictures of me that I didn't know I actually had taken, but I remember one of them was me buying my ticket at the Chinese theater for Star Wars Episode One.
Oh, wow.
A friend of mine took a picture of me doing that, and, you know, just some other random ones from, my comedy career and stuff like that. I did the Laugh Riots competition that Comedy Central did, way, way back, 2003, 2004, something like that. And I found this Comedy Central wristwatch that they'd given me.
Oh, I'm sorry, your voice dropped a little bit. You found what?
A Comedy Central wristwatch that they had given me.
Dude, that's cool.
That I forgot that I had, and an old, Gotham Comedy Club T-shirt and stuff. I had a pen from Comedy Works, you know, just I'm finding a lot of different stuff like that, which is kind of nice, because I didn't think I had kept a lot of it. For the most part, when I would get something free, it usually didn't fit me, so I would send it to my brother or something like that, you know.
Dude, that's cool. I want to see that Comedy Central watch.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it again. I'm been the weird part of doing all this, is I'll find something and then in a storage bin and then it's gone again.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a quick story about how I lost something and never got it back. I went about 15 years ago, I went for a walk. I was like, I'm going to go for a walk. And I went for about a 3-mile walk. And somehow my car keys slipped out of my back pocket. I must have had a hole in the back pocket. And I had my, you know, my car keys, house keys, the whole thing. And I didn't realize it, obviously, until I come home. I'm like, where's my keys? And so I'm like, oh, no, I'm retracing my steps. I'm like, where is it? I know exactly what path I walked on, like which streets and what sidewalks. And I'm looking. And then it got to the point where I'm like, I don't know where these things are, man. And I like called my wife. And so we're, you know, and then she went and did some errands. And we're looking. And then she ran into another comedian, Johnny Sanchez. She ran into him at a grocery store. And she told him what happened. And then Johnny, this is hilarious. He left a voicemail, and I didn't recognize his voice. And he was like, "Hello, Mr. Carter. This is whatever Robert from Burbank Parks and Recreation. We found your car keys. They are at the Verdugo Park, or whatever the name of the park was." And he's like, "By the ceramic turtle. If you look by the ceramic turtle, you will." And I thought it was real. And I'm like. And dude, when I told him the story, he was crying laughing because I go, dude, I thought that was real. And I'm like, where? Because I'm like looking at the ceramic turtle because I know where that, he goes, dude, there was a ceramic turtle. He goes, I just made that up. And I'm like, yeah, I'm over there by these giant, I go, this looks kind of like a turtle. And I'm over there by the sand where the swings are. And I did not see, I'm like, I don't, because I did walk over there and I thought maybe somebody picked them up. And I don't know, man. He said that they kind of like tucked them there so that I would find them. And dude, I was freaking out. And then I was like, I don't get it. So then I gave up total hope on it. And I went to this place that makes car keys and shoe repairs. And I asked the guy about duplication. And that guy started busting balls. He's like, he goes, first of all, let me ask you, who goes for a walk with their car keys? You don't need your car keys. You're walking.
Right.
And you know what? And it was a good point. Because it was all. Yeah. What I got out of that lesson in life is two things. I bought a carabiner so I can loop it onto my belt loop. So even if there is a hole in the pocket, I won't lose the keys. And second, if I'm just going to go walk around in the neighborhood, I don't take the car keys. I only take the essential key I need to get back in. So that's the lesson I learned. I learned you don't need to take every single key with you. Just the one you need.
Wait, do you not have a keychain?
No, I do. I do have a keychain.
Then why wouldn't you just take your keychain with you everywhere?
I did. See, what happened last time is I had on the keychain were all the keys, the car key, the house key, the mailbox key, the, you know, all that stuff. So now when
how did they get separated from you?
At the time, I lost everything.
I understand that, but how did you lose all of them if you just keep them in your pocket?
There was a hole in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a hole in my pocket. And that's what I'm saying. Two ways that I've fixed it is now I have a carabiner that loops on. You get it. I don't have to. You get what that means, right?
It's like a wallet chain.
Yeah, like a janitor would wear. Like they click it on. So I click on the. I got the keychain that loops onto my belt.
Okay.
Loop. Yeah, this is. This podcast is getting really dumb.
Good.
You don't want to lose the key. Also, if you forget things, tape a note to your chest.
it's keep in mind these are your stories.
Yeah, these are my stories. Yeah. So, well, it's worse when you make me explain them. You're like, so you have a keychain? I don't carry my keys all separated like quarters in that Ziploc bag.
I don't know your life. I don't know what you do.
That's true. You don't.
You do a lot of silly shit.
Comedians do odd things, and that would be odd. You know, I could see that. But so here's the thing that I lost.
Maybe you at one of your county fairs seminar on that. Yeah. You really just should keep each key separate.
You keep your one key in your left front pocket, the other key in your right front pocket. Then you put your important keys in your back pocket. Bumpkin activities.
Everyone's in the pants, so you have a place for each key.
I lost your voice. What'd you say?
I said everyone should wear parachute pants so you can have a pocket for each key.
Pocket party. Get it? That's why I call it the pocket party.
It's the stupidest thing.
Keys to success. Get it?
Or I thought maybe you were one of those dorks that has the rock, the fake rock out front.
Oh yeah, that would look super strange.
Has your keys in it.
Oh, yeah, that would. Yeah, that would. That wouldn't stand out like in a. You know, like you look at these apartment or condo hallways. You see, like, why is there a big rock right there?
Yeah. One big rock that doesn't match the other ones and is clearly made of plastic.
And it says "Made in China" on it. What the fudge?
Yeah. Yeah.
They so yeah, so here's what I lost.
Manufactured by Safekey Co. or whatever.
Yeah, Master Lock. The Master Lock rock.
Yeah.
They so we're all ready to go to the Bumpkin, right? Bumpkin Fair, you know, the Bumpkin activities, the fair. We got, you know, I'm packed, my wife's packed, we're all ready. We got the sunscreen, the hats, we're ready, we're rocking, we're rolling. I was going to meet them at the car. I go, okay, I'll lock up. I'm walking down the hallway and I have my sunglass case, right? My case, that your eyeglass case.
Right.
And it's prescription sunglasses. And I'm like, I'm ready now. I can see all these Bumpkin activities in focus this time. Like I can see them clearly. Because usually I just wear sunglasses, but now I got my prescription sunglasses and it makes it sharper. And as I'm walking to the elevator, I realize, wait a second, I got the case, but there's no sunglasses. I clearly remember bringing them up from my car. Where the heck are they? I grabbed the, and so now I'm looking all around on the table. I'm looking where, maybe they fell, they slipped. I couldn't believe it. I told my wife, I go, I don't know where the sunglasses are. And so I'm looking in my backpack. I'm like double checking. I'm looking with my flashlight. And then I start to blame other people, right? I'm like, okay, maybe Austin grabbed them. Maybe my son, Austin Base Boss, maybe he put them in his. And she's like, no, that didn't. I go, come on, Austin, can you just double check? So he's double checking his. And I'm looking. And my wife, she, you know, we have a place where we keep the sunglasses. She's looking at each one. She's taking a photo, texting it to me. Like, is it this one? I'm like, no, it's prescription. That's not. So then I'm like, I don't know where it is, man. And I'm just, we're looking. And then finally the time's ticking. We don't want to miss too much daylight at the fair. So we're like, let's just go. We'll figure it out later. And I never found the sunglasses. However, my wife found them.
There's a however?
Yes, the next day. I'll tell you, she found them the next day. She's doing laundry and she's like, oh, look what I found. Boom, my prescription sunglasses were in the laundry basket.
Oh, my God.
And then your brain starts connecting the dots. Like, how could that have happened? I swear I thought I saw them on the kitchen table. And I remember, here's what happened. I put the sunglasses in the case. I put it in a shirt pocket, which I never... I'm just now getting used to wearing shirts that have pockets on the front. I usually wear t-shirts. And so somehow I forgot it was in there. And when I took the shirt off, it must have slipped out and I put it in the laundry basket.
What a mystery.
What a mystery, my man. Yes. Have you noticed, maybe not because you've lived alone for a while, but I remember this female comedian did a joke. She goes, men think that the uterus is a location device because they always want us to find stuff. And we always do. Whenever the honey, I can't find. And that joke always stuck with me because it's like, if I can't find something, my wife goes, let me try. And then she'll usually end up finding whatever I lost, usually under like 3 minutes.
Yeah, because she's watched how you behave.
Was your mom like that when you'd be growing up as a kid and stuff? Like, mom, I can't find my favorite pair of black jeans or whatever. And then, boom, she finds them.
No, my parents were very into self-reliance.
Wait, your voice, if you lost it,
that sucks. You better go find it.
Your voice dropped a little bit. You said your parents, they relied on self-reliance?
They were big on self-reliance. On, like, if you lost it, you go find it. You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a smart thing to do with a kid because they will eventually learn to find their own shit, you know?
That is true. But thank God I have her as a backup because I'm like, she always finds. I'm like, where's this? Where's that? And like, I can look in my closet for a certain shirt. I'm looking. I don't see it. And then boom, I don't know. Maybe my eyes aren't that good. I don't know, man. But, Yeah, anyways, that's losing something and finding it. There we go. Okay, let's
go. When you were a kid or anything, did you ever have like a buried treasure?
I did.
You did?
I did have, well, sort of. I had a necklace and I buried it inside of a pipe in the closet. I was like, oh, I'm going to take this necklace and I'll keep it here in this pipe. And then it somehow like dropped all the way down. So I never got it back.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was just going to dangle and kind of like stay there at the top so I could just reach my little tiny fingers in there and grab it back out.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, the homeowner's like, why are our pipes clogged up?
Yeah.
Where's this? Oh, they're clogged up with treasure.
With treasure. With these gold chains from the 70s.
Valuable jewels.
Valuable jewels from a swap meet or whatever. It wasn't even that valuable. I said it was, yeah. I,
This gold chain might be priceless. Oh, it says Mr. T on it.
Yeah, I saw something sweet like that at the this on TikTok. These people were refurbishing a house, and somebody had left a like a keepsake type of thing, like a time, you know, what do you call it? Like a time bottle, like
time capsule.
Time capsule. That's it. And she wrote this really sweet letter, like, I'm 9 years old. I have a sister, and she said the different siblings. My mom is a great mom. Blah blah blah, and this is like 1974, and they opened it up. They read the whole note, and they're like, "If you know," and she said, "Where she goes, there's a train track 2 blocks away, and we live in this town, and da da da." And of course, you know how the internet is. They were like, "Oh, I know who that is." Blah blah blah, and they go, "Let's see it. We'd love to see a part two." And I thought that was really sweet.
Oh yeah, that's very cool.
That was very.
Or cool. They're haunted.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That'd be creepy. Okay, I want to move on to this. We're going to take, if you guys follow us on Instagram. If you don't follow us on Instagram, official Darren Carter. Find Mike Black. His Instagram handle is?
@ Mike Black is back.
That's right. Okay, question coming in from
Or you can follow both of us at Men Without Work.
Men Without Work, yeah. I believe it's pronounced Matthias. Matthias Robertson. Matthias Robertson asks, what is the best or worst gig?
Oh, that you've done?
Yes.
Let's see. The best gig I've done was probably the River Rock in Canada with Dice. That was a lot of fun. And it was that was, I think, 10,000 seats, something like that. And they treated us like kings. It was Canada. It was everyone's already super polite. And I got to hang out in Canada with Dice in Vancouver. Wow. And I happened to be just walking in downtown Vancouver, and I see this building full of Fantastic Four memorabilia from the comic book characters, the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up and I was like, wow, this actually looks like their headquarters in the comic books, the Baxter Building. And I look up a little higher and I see a sign that says the Baxter Building.
Whoa.
And then I look around on the street, there's like a New York newspaper stand and a couple of cop cars that say NYPD on them. And I was like, what is going on? And then I realized that I'm on the set. I had just stumbled onto the set. This is how laid back security in Canada is.
Yeah.
For the Fantastic Four Part 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer. And I had just bumbled onto the main set there. And, you know, I looked around for a little bit, and then I was like, I should probably get out of here because security's going to come any minute, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of neat that was just something that was...
That's cool.
That Canada really is the way you want it to be, where everyone's just very laid back about everything. They're so laid back that I went to a Red Robin there, and everyone that worked there was just super nice. It was off hours, and I was the only one in there. And so I filled out the little comment card and, you know, saying what a great experience I had. And I go to the bathroom and I come out of the bathroom and the whole staff was reading it together. And they were like, there he is. Sir, did you fill out this comment card for us? And I'm like, wow, no one ever does that. That's so sweet. And I'm like, okay, bye. You know.
Oh, that's nice. By the way, I'm losing your voice a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I have the phone as close as I can, but yeah, so that was probably the best experience that I had.
That's so cool. Oh, shout out to Ma C 12. She's we went to the same high school together. So she's like RHS. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
We got a...
What was you guys' team mascot, do you know?
Oh, yeah. We were the Rough Riders, the Roosevelt Rough Riders. Yeah. Roosevelt Rough Riders.
That sounds more like Tahoe Joe's school.
Yeah.
Tahoe Joe and the Rough Riders.
Tahoe Joe and the Rough Riders. That's right. I'm on the ROTC team, and tomorrow we're having a big rodeo competition for FFA. Yeah. How about this? I'm gonna shout out to... Satrilicious, S-A-T-Y, Satrilicious.
Oh, yeah.
This is a question from Mike Black. The Denver Nuggets are doing good with the sports ball and have a player named Joker. Is this going to get, by nicknaming him Joker, will this get Mike Black into watching basketball?
No. Unfortunately, no. Like, I'm glad they have a guy named Joker, but... the only basketball that I really ever watched and liked was the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an entire team of Jokers. You know, I think they still put on a good show
against the Washington.
I grew up in their heyday.
Yeah.
And they were phenomenal back then.
They were so good, right? The whole red, white, and blue thing with the Sweet Georgia Brown theme song that whistle.
Yeah. And it was like they're each incredibly accomplished athletes, but they managed to make this really funny sort of circus-like show out of it.
With a cartoon and everything. Remember that they'd show up on – did they show up on Gilligan's Island? I remember they'd show up on certain things. They'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was like, what the heck? Yeah. Okay, here we go.
How did they get off the island and still Gilligan and the rest of them didn't?
Skipper! I know, there'd always be a thing like that, right? Like the one boat that would, like, or whatever. They didn't have to really explain it like that. All right, here we go. Shout out to the Miguel Romero, who's done a couple of theme songs for the Pocket Party. Love you, buddy.
Oh, nice.
He writes, funniest memory from being a teenager.
Funniest memory from being a teenager.
Funniest memory. I know that's tough because it's like there's so many, but then you really can't. I remember
the one that's jumping out at me right now, and I don't know why, but I remember being in a car with a bunch of other kind of like grunge sort of kids in the 90s, and this girl gets in the car with us, and she just looks sad, and everyone's like, "What's going on?" And she goes, "I had to do my brother's laundry as punishment for something I did yesterday, and all of his laundry smells like tacos." And for some reason, that just grossed us all out so much.
That's hilarious. It's
a very 90s moment, you know.
It's funny what jumps out at
about doing their brother's laundry.
That's hilarious. It's funny what jumps out at you, because I remember being in an old school car, like a 1981 car. No, it's probably like from the 70s. And I remember my buddy, I had an Armenian buddy, and he used to love Rambo. And so he kind of had like that 5 o'clock shadow, like in high school, which, you know, I didn't really grow whiskers till after high school, but like, you know, like that anyways. And I remember him, we were just laughing our asses off with all the windows down. And for whatever reason, it just struck me as funny. He was blasting the Bee Gees from Saturday Night Fever, like that theme song from the movie. And it just looks so, everybody was, you know, back then you would listen to the music that was on the radio of the time, you know, whatever it was,
right.
Prince, Michael Jackson, Madonna, like all that stuff, 80s music. And so here we are driving around listening to a Staying Alive, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, dude, turn it down. And he's like, no, bro, this is cool, bro. And we were like,
yeah.
And I was just like embarrassed, but like it was extra funny that he was blasting this music, you know. That is something I noticed whenever I would go past like a high school, or you go past like a anywhere where youth are gathered, there tends to be a lot of laughing, a lot of giggling, a lot of laughing, a lot of joy.
Right.
You know, and then when you get around older people, less joy, like less laughing, less. Maybe they're.
Yeah, I think you just figured out how aging works there.
I mean, they might be happy, but not like teenagers. Teenagers will freaking laugh and giggle, and we have to keep that in mind. You got to capture that, you guys. We got to keep that alive. You know, and it's hard. Why? Sometimes it can be hard.
Because they're men without work. They don't have jobs and shit. Yeah. So, of course, they're happy.
That's funny. Oh, gosh. I know I had some laughs on this episode. Mike, thank you so much for joining us again at the Pocket Party Podcast. And, dude, we just have so much fun together. Thanks for... Hey, that was cool that time you planted that seed. You go, we should get some Japanese food. Guys, we did. We did a whole podcast about it. Go back a few episodes and listen to that.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good one.
And a lot of great feedback on the previous episode, too. So if you haven't listened to episode, I want to say 281, go listen to 281. And
And send us more questions, because those are a lot of fun.
I love the questions. Yeah, hit me up on IG, Instagram, and we'll answer those questions. And Mike Black, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
All right, you too, brother. Have a great night.
You got it, buddy. Bye. Look at you. You made it all the way through another episode, Pocket Party Podcast. I want to thank you guys for hiring me on Cameo. That always helps. And if you haven't, donate on Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo, just to keep this train running, man. Keep it going. Appreciate you guys. I'm also on the Cash App, $ Darren Carter Comic. And once again, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day, and don't hurt nobody. Be careful.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.